This is Marketplace Weekend. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. The big political news of this week, of course, President Trump's firing of FBI Director James Comey. Meanwhile, the FBI is investigating connections between the Trump campaign and Russia. Two congressional committees are also examining Russian meddling in our election. And many congressional Democrats have called for a special prosecutor or independent counsel to look into Russia and the Trump campaign. White House Deputy Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders got a question about that in her briefing on Wednesday.
You said you want the Russia investigation to continue at DOJ. Would the White House oppose the appointment of a special prosecutor to continue to look into to continue the investigation?
We don't think it's necessary. You've got a House committee, a Senate committee, and the Department of Justice all working on this. I don't think that there's a necessary need at this point.
We wanted to dig into both the cost and the value of special investigations. They are not a new part of the political process, but they can be expensive, both literally and politically. Laura Donahue is a professor at Georgetown Law, and I asked her to give me a sense of the different flavors these kind of inquiries come in.
Previously, what we've had are called independent counsel, and that was under the Ethics in Government Act, which was introduced after the Saturday Night Massacre when Nixon ordered the prosecutor to be fired. As you will recall, the attorney general then resigned, the deputy attorney general resigned, and ultimately Congress decided in response to that to introduce legislation to make it possible for a three-judge panel to appoint somebody to look into serious matters. But the problem that came along was partly economic in terms of the costs of these special prosecutors. So over the next few decades, there were 20 different prosecutors that were appointed, and they costed a lot of money, as it turned out. So the Clinton administration was subject to five different investigations by special prosecutors, and the costs of this were just tremendous. So, as you might recall, the 4.5-year inquiry into Whitewater, and then it was expanded to include Lewinsky, came to $39.2 million.
Wow.
So, and then there are these other investigations that went into the Clinton administration, both Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton. There were four additional inquiries. So, together with that Starr investigation, it came to $79.3 million. And so Congress was very concerned about the cost of this, about the politics of having somebody independent kind of being able to go on witch hunts after senior administration officials. And so in 1999, they allowed those powers to lapse. And that's when we get the second kind of counsel, which is a special counsel, which the Department of Justice's regulations allow for the Attorney General to appoint somebody in a similar capacity.
You know, you were listing some of those costs, and We were just looking at the math. You mentioned, you know, $39.2 million for Whitewater. If you go back to Iran-Contra, Lawrence Walsh, the prosecutor there, I believe it's somewhere in the neighborhood of $47 million. But then there are things like the bipartisan 9/11 Commission, which was created by Congress. Is there a way to judge the idea of return on investment for taxpayers of these investigations? Or does that just sort of depend on where you sit politically?
So I think that's very difficult to determine because some of the issues that are at stake are not easily quantifiable, like rule of law or accumulation of power or separation of powers or corruption. You know, it's very hard to put a number on that. Certainly since the beginning.
I guess you could say rule of law is priceless.
Yeah, right. Exactly. This is what we stand for as a country. So, you know, even years and years ago, back to Ulysses S. Grant in 1875, when he appointed John Henderson to look at the whiskey ring scandal, the point of a special prosecutor was to try to get rid of corruption at the highest levels of government. It's an absolutely critical function in a democracy to be able to have somebody who's independent and outside the power structure to be able to look at this, reveal what's going on, and hold people accountable for their actions.
Who controls the purse strings in sort of these different flavors of investigations?
So in a special counsel investigation, the Attorney General has a tremendous amount of authority. The Attorney General sets the parameters of the jurisdiction. The Attorney General appoints the individual. The Attorney General can actually reject any prosecutorial recommendation or any findings of that special counsel. So it was a slightly different situation with regard to the Ethics in Government Act that previously operated and has now expired. One of the problems that we found from that is that these investigations did tend to go on for quite some time. As you mentioned before, we have there was one investigation by Lawrence Walsh on the Iran-Contra that went on for 8 years, and it came to $47.4 million. That money goes to salaries, to travel, to rent, to supplies, to private outside contractors, to the various agencies and government. And so one of the suggestions that was made in considering whether to renew the Ethics in Government Act in 1999 was whether the Congress should put a time limit on the length of these investigations that would help to cabin the amount of money spent, or even put a spending cap on these investigations. So if Congress wanted to introduce new legislation to cover a special counsel, these might be ways to get a hold of the spending and try to prevent kind of that extraordinary spending that can come with special counsel, while still allowing the highest officials in the government to be held accountable for their actions.
Laura Donahue is a professor at Georgetown Law. Thank you so much.
Thank you.